thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And we give you a praise for what you're doing in our land. And we thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that, as James said, let us not just be hearers, but doers. And there's a lot of different work. That doesn't just mean church work. That means getting out in the world and doing work and being an influence. Father, take this word that he's prepared today and challenge us and motivate us and use us to change the world for the betterment, for another generation, for a generation yet unborn. Father, let your anointing, let the Spirit of God come upon Kenny in might and in power through him and to us. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. All right, I always enjoy praise and worship. You guys agree? And then all of a sudden we get announcements of everything that's coming, everything that we're doing. And then there seems to be a lull. So I'm going to start off with a song. I want us to get back into that spirit, that essence. All right?
Hear us now. Breathe on us. Holy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you can see, I entitled this Breathe. And it's no coincidence that it seems like this week we could breathe. There was just a breath of fresh air that swept through our land. It says in Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground." So at this point, God forms man from the dust of the ground. I love that scripture. I love meditating on that. So much so that, you know, at that point, I thought, hey, I can bring in some dirt here. Let's see what we can do. Yeah, that's it, right? Good luck on that one, right? And it says here, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is why I chose this song. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. It wasn't until God breathed into his nostrils that man became alive. The very breath of God. And focusing on that, the breath of God just is able to create life. It says that all scripture is God breathed. Scripture is able to bring life where there is no life, where it's formless, where it's void. Right? 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God breathed and useful, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if we're not equipped, we need to be praying, God, breathe on me. Breathe on me. Give me that life force, that essence, so that we can turn around and do what we need to do. When I was young in the Lord, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God gave me this. It stuck with me all my life. I think all of it, the struggling stuck with me straight now. It says, all the struggling and striving in my life is caused by my own strife. After all, formed from the earth's dust, what is needed is to give Jesus all my trust. You know, when I was baptized, this is what he gave me, a little poem, something that I held on to. And all the years of my life, the struggling, the striving, you know, the strife, I always reverted back to, you know, in the midst of this, I'm supposed to be trusting God so that this could cease. You know, it's about trusting God. I know that none of you guys have ever struggled, had strife in your life, right? Struggle is to try very hard to do or achieve the or deal with something that's difficult, right? Or that causes problems. To move with difficulty or great effort. To try to move yourself, an object, by making a lot of effort. So we do a lot of things trying to make a lot of effort, but if God's not in it, no matter how much effort you apply, it's not going to happen, right? The effort that we need is to trust God, to seek him, to seek his face. And John, this one was for my son, who is not here. John 3, 1, 2, it was for him because it's the New King James Version, who he swears by now. Right? So I had to throw one in just for him. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And then Psalm 103:1, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Now, as we look at that, we want our soul to prosper. As your soul prospers, what does that mean? It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health just as your soul prospers. How's your soul today? You know, we can turn around and somebody says, hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm doing good. And a lot of times that has to do with the outside. It has to do with the things on the outside, the situations we find ourselves in. We're like, yeah, I got a good house. I got a job. I got food on the table. You know, a roof over my head. I'm doing good. But how's the inside, right? How can we have a healthy soul? What does it mean to be healthy and whole on the inside, our minds, our wills, and our emotions? 2 weeks ago, if you asked, how's your soul? I don't know what the answer would have been. With all the thoughts that were going through our head and what was ahead and lying ahead. This week, you ask, how's my soul? You hear reports, well, it's doing pretty good now. But it's not steadfast in the sense that there's work to be done. This is just a moment as it was spoken of. We need to continue. We need to continue to keep watch. What does it mean to have our soul healthy? I believe it begins with praising God. To have a healthy soul, I believe it begins with praising God. Before we begin, it's helpful to define what we mean by the term soul. David wrote in Psalm 103:1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." In this verse, David equates his soul with his inner self. All that is within me. Your soul is all that was within you. Your soul is not your eye color. It's not your height. It's not your hairline, Pastor John. Right? Or your waistline, Bob. It's not your name or your education, Donovan. Or your bank account, Shane. I say that because Shane's purchasing a house. His bank account by Tuesday will be empty. He needs to know that has not to do with his soul, his innermost being. Although if you were to ask him Wednesday, he'd be fearful. What am I going to do now? Right? Your soul is the invisible but incredibly significant part that thinks, feels, and decides. As we said in Psalm 103:1, "Praise the Lord, my soul. My inmost being, praise his holy name." Do we think about our inmost being? Very often we think about all the outside situations we find ourselves in, the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, getting up, going to work, taking care of the kids, all the activities and the busyness of the day. You know, in praising God and meditating on what it is that we're singing, what it is that we're saying, taking the time, just a little bit of time to meditate on your soul. So how am I doing? How am I really doing? You know, because we all can put a face on, you know, as to how we're doing. But God knows our soul. He knows how we're doing. He knows the troubles, the fears, the doubts, you know. He knows all of that. We can't hide that from him, nor should we. Right? Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Oftentimes when we come on a Sunday morning and we gather together one with another as the family of God, as his children, I've heard it said that it takes two or three songs in before you actually start to press in. That our souls have already not taken the time to enter into his gates, enter into his presence. That we do it the minute we get here. Oh, yeah, that's right, I'm here. I need to begin this process of pressing in instead of waking up early and pressing in. Having the Sunday morning Bible study enables us to press in. We have no problem taking care of our exterior body with the food that's provided. Thank you very much. But we take care of our food that's provided for the soul. Thank Fred. He delivered the food for the soul this morning. We appreciate that. I always appreciate when somebody else pays for the meal. Thank Fred. He paid for that meal. He labored for that to be able to bring it forth so that we could partake of that. I enjoy that. But as Fred said, we need to pay for our own meals the rest of the week. Study for ourselves. So if you have an issue with that, blame Fred. Amen? Praising God, the first thing. Do you know that praising God is the best thing to do before everything else? Have you ever been in a situation that you feel all alone? Or have you encountered a difficult situation in your life and you don't know what to do, like losing a job or suffering the loss of someone very close to your heart? Consider the good times, such as when you receive a raise from your boss or earn high marks at school. What do you usually do during these moments? Praising God makes every circumstance of our lives complete, essential, and eminently worthwhile. Webster defines the word praise as to say good things about, and is synonymous with the words such as admire, commend, extol, honor, and worship. A definition of Christian praise is the joyful thanking and adoring of God, the celebration of his goodness and grace. This simply implies that the act of praising is rightfully due to God alone. So why? Why is praising God important? Why do we start with that? The reasons are countless. First, God deserves to be praised, and he is worthy to receive our praise. If there's anybody that's worthy, it's God, to receive our praise. So if we believe that, then we would do that. We would praise him from our inmost being. As David said, praise the Lord. He was telling himself what to do, not letting his emotions or his will and whatnot be subject to itself. He was in control. It says, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Psalm 96:4. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Psalm 145:3. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. 2 Samuel 22:4. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Revelation 4:11. Second, praising God is useful and favorable for us. By praising God, we are reminded of the greatness of God. Singing those praises today reminded me of the greatness of God. That you almost stand in awe as you're singing. You know, you continue to sing, but yet you stand in awe of how blessed we are. Even we were just as blessed 2 weeks ago. We were just as blessed because God was still in control. On the outside, we might have had a little more challenges, and we were looking for more hope. On the inside, we're just as blessed, or we could be, or should be, because he still continues to be in control, right? Because he's God. Now, granted, this week, things are a little different. But as it was said, it's just the beginning. There's a momentum that needs to be happening. And that momentum, God is not going to start from the outside. This momentum starts from the inside, and it's inside each and every one of us. At least 81% of us that voted started on the inside. He's doing something. I believe that he's breathing upon his people. That'd be us. And if we can only see the outside, we need to look a little deeper into ourselves. God is breathing upon us on the inside. It says, God, we are reminded of the greatness of God. His power and presence in our lives is reinforced in our understanding. Just like was explained this morning, the understanding of how God's moving upon this land. Now, whether people want to believe it or not, he didn't just move upon those that voted for Donald Trump. He moved upon those that didn't. They don't understand it. They don't accept it. But he moved upon them. He actually, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. He blessed them without them even wanting it or knowing it. He blessed them. And yet they call out in anger and frustration. Yeah, but he blessed them. I find that truly amazing. But he blessed them and they don't even recognize it. Because he's surrounding those that are going to be making decisions with people that are filled with the Spirit. And they may not recognize it or believe it or accept it. But thank God he blessed them. Because I couldn't imagine living their lives without that blessing. You know? Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. Psalm 135:3. Third, praise discharges strength and faith, which causes God to move on our behalf. God moved on our behalf. God moved on his behalf for his glory to be seen, to be known. As Pastor John pointed out, it wasn't just known in America. It wasn't just known in the United States. It was known across the world. Across the world, people seen God move. They see him stirring something up. And it's not about America. Although America is blessed, it's about God. God is just choosing America once again and continuing to choose America to move, just like he chose Israel to move across this land, to move across this world and be that light. From the lips of the children and the infants, you have ordained praise because your enemies to silence the foe and avenger, Psalm 8:2. Praising God also transforms the spiritual environment we have. Isn't that what we want? To transform this environment? All too many people, as it was said in Fred's class, they only know their environment. That's all they know. So what else are they going to do? It was their upbringing. They don't know the truth. And we're looking to transform the environment that we're in. And we do that by praising God, by bringing his truth to the situation. Right? Levites gave praise and thanks to the Lord, and the temple was filled with a cloud signifying the glory of God. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison as one voice to give praise and thanks to God. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. God breathed upon them his spirit, and it's only his spirit that brings life. The imagery of breath is often used to convey spiritual essence and power. And unseen, except in its effects, I pray that it would affect us, that it would infect us, that it move through our whole body, our whole being, not just one area, not just one time in our life, that it not just move through a Sunday morning, but it continue to move Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that it be such an infectious thing, praising God. As my kids well know, first thing in the morning, that's what the radio goes on, the songs go on. When I come home, the radio goes on, the songs come on. I live in that praise. It's so peaceful. It gives you courage in the things that you do. What's the meaning of the Hebrew word ruach? The Hebrew ruach means wind, breath, or spirit. The corresponding Greek word is pneuma. Both words are commonly used in passages referring to the Holy Spirit. The word's first use in the Bible appears in the second verse. The Spirit of God, Ruach Elohim, was hovering over the waters. There he is again. His breath just hovering, his spirit over the waters. And then boom, teeming with life. That is so awesome. You know, we think about that. Genesis 1:2, it says, in Genesis 6:17, Ruach translated breath of life. Genesis 8:1, he uses Ruach to describe the wind. The wind. Anybody remember the wind? The upper room? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It's a continuation. It's something that you take some time to focus on. So where is the wind in our sails? See, we as Christians, we got a little bit of wind in our sails right now. Right? That's what it feels like. I mean, we had no wind, it seemed like, for 8 years. Although things appeared to be calm with no wind, you weren't going nowhere. You weren't moving. There was just a staleness, a sediment that would just stay there. If it stayed long enough, like in a lake, then it just becomes gooey. Wind is what stirs things up. It keeps things clean and fresh, you know. And things are going to be stirred up. The workplace is going to be stirred up. You can see that. It's already on the news. Things are being stirred up. So we as Christians, we have to be prepared. How are we going to respond to the stirring of the Spirit? Because for us, we're going to respond favorably. We're like, this is awesome. But if you're like anybody else, when I go to work, there's people there that are not stirring favorably. They're not. This is not awesome in their eyes. And you have to try to bring understanding to that situation. I love the fact that when I go to work, God goes to work with me. You know, I love that. He can fight that battle. I just have to be attentive. I have to listen. What is it you want to do? What is it you want to say? My thing is, and when do you want to say it? Because I want to say it right away. You know, ha! Hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel 37, 4 and 5. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Anybody here ever feel like they have dry bones? I mean, dry bones, when you put your bones, for them to be dry, there's no moisture. I even think the life force in the bone, the marrow, is just dried up. Nothing. You know? And this is the way that the world would want us to live. It's not the way that God's people are called to live. But the world wants to attach itself, its views upon us, so that we feel that we're living that way. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live that way. You can reject the world's ways, and you can live the way that God's called you to live. You know, the one thing about breath, take a minute right now and just take a deep breath. I had some tests this week, and that's what they told me to do. Take a deep breath. And just continue to do that, and this will be as pleasant as it can be. I'm like, no, it isn't. No. What's pleasant is when you get to report that all things are good. Amen. That's what's pleasant. But you take that deep breath. Did you know that you can go without food for 30 days before dying? Without a breath, about 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So you have to ask yourself, how long can I go in my soul without the breath of God blowing upon me? Really, do we want to test that? Or do we want to spend that time with Him in His presence, saying, Lord, just breathe on me. His word is God breathed. So His word and studying and reading His word is His breath being blown upon you. Knowing that, you may not even understand it completely when you read it, but it's still His breath blowing upon you. Amen? I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. Again, in John 20, 21, 22, again Jesus said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, He breathed up on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. My heart's cried this week when I got the call to give the message was that God's Holy Spirit would fill each and every one of us in such a way that when we leave here today, that we would realize it, that we would know it, that'd be the first thing on our mind Tuesday, Wednesday. That'd be like, God, breathe upon me. Just like you did that first day for man. You breathed life into him. And it seems like we're living on borrowed breath to this day. His breath. It's his life. Because in all seriousness, if he was to remove that, it's over. If you look up breath, it's like he breathed his last breath and his soul was taken away into heaven. That was it. We want that. We want to see the Holy Spirit move. Pastor John says something about 5 o'clock. He's coming here at 5 o'clock to praise God, to pray, to see a continuation of the Spirit moving. Well, that's one person that's moving in because he's coming at 5 o'clock. Is the Spirit moving in any other people here, and are they coming? Now, whether you can make it or not, are you praying at 5 o'clock for that very purpose? To be intentional, to be purposeful, and what it is that God's doing at this time. Take some time and pray. Be intentional and purposeful and say, Lord, if I can't make it at 5, I can pray for that purpose. Pray for protection around elect President Donald Trump and his cabinet. There's a lot of division still. The enemy has not died. Our enemy is real. Pray for wisdom, courage. Amen? Amen? Be a part of the building of God's kingdom. Acts 2, 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind. There's that word again, wind. Breath of God. Came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit enabled them. It's the breath of God that enables us to do what we need to do. Thank God. It's not dependent upon us. It's always been dependent upon God. Our dependence is on God to do it. We need to press in. God, do this. Do this in me. If you're going to use somebody, use me. Do it through me. Let me be that living sacrifice. Step upon that altar and allow him to be who he wants to be in you. Amen? See, we have this sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A hope that enters the inner place behind the curtain. The inner place, the inner sanctuary. Our soul. This isn't something that's on the outside. You see things happening on the outside. You hear about the things happening on the outside. And you see the evidence and the essence and the power of God on the outside. But it started on the inside of each and every one of us. Standing up against the powers and the principalities that would want to turn around and bring the kingdom of God down. It started on the inside, and we've all have the opportunity to take part in that, to continue to take part in that. To allow God to move upon us, to move upon us on the inside. To be strong, to be bold, to be courageous. To lead and govern is the translation of being strong and courageous. To lead and govern. To govern as God would want us to govern. To allow God to govern as he wants to govern in your life. Once again, we need to ask God to breathe on us. That's my heart's cry, that he would breathe on us. And I believe it does begin with praise. Praise does something even when you don't feel like doing it. It doesn't take a song, two or three. You come in here, you've done fought with the wife, you've done been upset with the kids, you've done worried about work, you've done worried about the things after church, but you get into the presence of God and you begin to praise him. One or two songs, if you're allowing that to move upon you, before you know it, things are different. Because you're like, oh, in spite of all that, I have this hope that is an anchor that is there for me. You're in the midst of a storm. People see it. There was a storm that just happened. You've seen it. And yes, we pray for the storm to stop, but more importantly, do we have the peace that we need to have in the midst of the storm? Do we have the peace that we need to have in the midst of the war? The battle. We do have it. He gave it to us. He continues to give it to us. Jesus continues to breathe life into us. That is so cool. If you've came, if you've sat at his feet, if you've read his word is God breathed. We put ourselves in a place to live. Amen? All right, because I said this was the first and foremost thing to do, praise. I'd like to ask each and every one of us to stand. We're going to sing one more song. And we're going to end praising God.
Before we sing that, I just forgot to mention
brought to you by our sponsor, Jesus himself. God provides all kinds of opportunities for us to be unified, to be of one accord, to praise him. Amen?
Still the song in us that never ends. We can't help but stand and stand.
Hallelujah. All right, if I could have the prayer team come up. We're going to close in prayer. We got coffee and donuts upstairs. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Father God, for this day, Lord God. We thank you for you building your kingdom, Father God, and us having an opportunity to take part in that, Lord God. Father, we pray, Father God, for our souls, Lord God, and the souls of all those that are lost, Lord God. Father, that you would move upon them, Father God, as even as you have moved upon those waters, Lord God. And that your breath, Father God, would not only move upon us, but would move upon our co-workers, that it would move upon our neighbors, those that we come in contact with, Lord God. That we seek that opportunity, Father God, as we even speak the words of God, that it bring life, Father God. We thank you for your glory, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody need prayer? We got the prayer team up here. Otherwise, you are dismissed.